Last September, I went to visit my family in Italy, and we decided with my sister to travel. We went to southern Italy, quite a long trip. We went to San Giovanni Rotondo, the place of Padre Pio, and we went to a city called Matera. Matera is a very unique city. It's been chosen as the city of culture for the European Union this year. As we were there, they were filming the new James Bond movie right there. And I remember that another movie was also shot there, The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. Now, about that movie, it begins, you might remember, with Jesus in the agony of Gethsemane. And he calls three of his closest friends, Peter, James, and John. And he goes and his face is disfigured by drops of blood falling from his face. And he says in the movie, he says, "I don't want the others to see me like this." This is not in the Gospels, but it's a beautiful line that explains to me today's Gospel of the Transfiguration. Only those who had seen Jesus' face transfigured are able to withstand Jesus' face disfigured in passion. As a matter of fact, the preface of this mass says, after having announced or predicted his passion, Jesus took three of his disciples up the mountain to show them his glory so that they would be able to understand and to get through the passion. Jesus calls three of his closest friends. Peter, the one who loved Jesus the most. At the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus asks him, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Peter says three times, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Peter was chosen because he was the one that loved Jesus the most. In his own way, but he did. John was the beloved by Jesus, loved by Jesus the most. James, his brother, was the first of the apostles to die a martyr for Christ. They were very special. Jesus calls them up the mountain, Mount Tabor, probably. This is what we need to do at Lent. Become Jesus' intimate friends and go up a mountain. Meaning, find a place where earth and sky meet. Mountains throughout the Bible are very special places where God is made manifest. That's what we need to do at Lent. Find the mountain. Find a place to be alone with Jesus. A place of silence, of detachment from daily routine. And to do that, we cannot be with a crowd. Yes, we come to church and there is a crowd, but we need the moments of solitude and maybe choosing only a very few friends that surround us and help us grow spiritually. We could say, "Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are." Our friends say a lot about who we are. So Lent is a time to surround ourselves with few good friends that will help us achieve the spiritual goals that we have set for ourselves. And we go up the mountain. There Jesus reveals his true identity, his divinity. We hear that by his side were Moses and Elijah. Moses, the Torah, Elijah, the main prophet. In other words, the whole of Scripture. That's another thing we need to do at Lent. Make sure that Holy Scripture guides us to discover who Jesus truly is. Keep in mind that also that Moses went up the mountain to see God's glory and did not. According to the book of Exodus, chapter 33 or 34, I believe, Moses went up, and when the glory of God was passing by, God put his hands on his face and said, "You cannot see my glory, but you will be able to see my back when I'm passed by. The same goes for Elijah. He went up the mountain and was expecting to see God's glory in an earthquake, but God was not there. Then in the fire, God was not in the fire. Then in a rushing wind, but again, God was not there. Only in a quiet breeze, he discovered God's presence. So they guide us to make experience of God's presence in Jesus Christ. He is the real revelation of God's glory. And how beautiful what Peter says, "Lord, it is beautiful to be here." Have you ever said this to the Lord? Have you ever experienced a moment of such grace when you feel, "Oh, this is beautiful. I wish I could stay here for a long time." Those are the moments we need to treasure. Moments of beauty, of goodness. You are moved by them. You're touched by them. You are converted by them. You are seduced by them. And Peter wants to stay there. But then the voice comes, the voice of God. And that's another important aspect of our Lenten journey, listening to the voice of God. Can you hear God's voice? He tells us, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus reveals the true image of God. Interesting that God speaks twice in the Gospel and says, "This is my beloved Son." The first time was at the baptism, when Jesus joined the sinners in the muddy waters of the Jordan River. He humbled himself. He was counted among sinners. This pleases God. It's counterintuitive. You know? It's not the holiness of Jesus, it's the fact that he joins the multitude of sinners that pleases God. Why? Because he's humbling himself. He's revealing true love. Love is building community, is serving others, is putting your life at the service of others. And that's what Jesus is doing at baptism. And today we hear it again. Jesus just announced that he will suffer greatly, be rejected, be killed, and rise on the third day. When he says this, God says, "This is my boy. That's my son. I am truly pleased in him." Why? Because Jesus is revealing God's plans, God's mindset. God loves not what we treasure. We treasure victories, honors, being the first, being the best. God treasures a life spent for others, a life spent in self-sacrifice, because that's what love is, and God is love. And so God acknowledges, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Lent is about listening to him, making time to listen to the Lord. Allow his word to be abundant in our ears and in our heart. Listen to him. Peter wanted to stay there. Jesus says, "No, we need to go down. Because now that you know what pleases the Lord, a life of service, you cannot hide up here. You go to church to experience the transfiguration of the Lord. You pray to have that moment of intimacy with him, to hear God's voice, but then you need to go, to leave the church, go out, live the call to become yourself an image and likeness of God by a life of service to others. And that's also Lent. Lent is living this attitude of service, of kindness, of generosity with people around us. It takes courage to accept this invitation. Abram and Sarai took a lot of courage. He was 75 years old. He had it all. He had place, he had possessions, wealth, but heard the call, leave everything, go, I will show you the land that I have chosen for you, and I will give you posterity. When I read this passage from the 12th chapter of Genesis, I can't but think of the many who in the 1800s were leaving my country, Italy, coming here to the US or going to South America, or going all over the world. And many who left other countries, other nations, Ireland, Germany, you name it, going, searching for the dream. Well, that's what Abram did. He was the first real adventurer, the first real migrant, if you want. But he did it trusting in the Lord. He believed God's promises. He followed. Did the opposite of what had happened before him. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the people at the time of Noah's Ark, they did not want to listen to the Lord and follow his promises, his dreams. They relied only on themselves and they destroyed everything. With Abram, a new people is born, a people that will listen to the Lord and do what the Lord commands. Let this be our commitment as we begin Lent. We're still at the beginning, only the second Sunday. There's a lot of time ahead of us, great opportunity to listen to what also Paul says to Timothy. We have been called to a holy life, not out of our own works, but because of grace, because of what we receive. If we do that, we will experience transfiguration, a transformation of our life. The Greek word used in the gospel is metamorphosis, a change, like a cocoon that becomes a butterfly. Let's begin, believe, and be willing to follow this plan of our Lord. Let this Lent be indeed a great opportunity of transfiguration and become like Jesus, the beloved sons and daughters of God in whom he is well pleased.